Today we have Dr. Diana Wiley joining us today, Seattle-based licensed marriage and family therapist, a board-certified sex therapist specializing in sexual and relationships issues going on. And you've put together a book called Love in the Time of Corona. And I've seen that title, and it reminded me of the old Love American style, where they would have Love in the Coronavirus or something like that if they were writing it up for a topic of something that we didn't really expect. This is advice from a sex therapist for couples in quarantine. A doctor in March, when everybody started getting sheltered in place, people were saying, you know, there's going to be a baby boom in December. Or they're going to say, you know, this is what's happening. So right away, people are thinking, spending time together, maybe they'll have more relations. But I guess the more you spend together, maybe you might be drifting apart. Talk a little bit about what we're going through at this time, if you will.
Well, it's a time of forced togetherness for many, and many couples are finding that they're tense and anxious and just too much time together, and it has wrecked their sex life. But the core of my book, and it was put together, we wrote it in about 2 months, so it was a big push to get it done, but it's a timely book. The subtitle is Advice from a Sex Therapist for Couples in Quarantine. And, you know, I like to tell people that this is an opportunity to expand your sensual and sexual relationship. And during these pandemic times, and of course now with all the civil unrest on top of that, oh, don't we need a break? So I encourage couples to cocoon, to have some fun, and maybe even some laughter. One of the people that I was talking to recently, a radio interviewer like yourself, said, oh, I haven't laughed in so long. Well, I have a whole chapter on laughter and play. And we need more of that in these times.
Most of what you talk about are probably learned or applied here is things that you've obviously learned over time and would apply in normal senses. When someone has stress in their life, maybe a job loss, or maybe there's some sort of illness or something like that. So this is all the same thing, but it all seems to be compressed into a short period of time or layered on top of each other. How do we kind of sort through it and survive?
Well, we need to communicate. That's, talking is always a good thing. So maybe get to know your partner better. And maybe even take a closer look at how you spend your time together when you aren't having sex. You know, does sitting in front of the TV for hours make you feel more excited about your partner? So it probably not, but so it's being intentional about your partner. I mean, in terms of getting to know your partner better, do you know what he or she really wants? And does your partner know what you want? So my book, one of my colleagues wrote a blurb for the back cover of the book, and he said, it's a year's worth of sex therapy in one volume. That's Dr. Mark Schoen, who is the founder of SexSmartFilms.com. And it's true. There's a lot in the book, a lot of exercises and communication and in suggestions for sexual activity as well in the book.
One of the things that is always spoken of when we talk about the coronavirus right now, we're talking about the safety and the wearing the masks when we go out, and there's that whole social distancing, which has sort of played into our vernacular now about, you know, keeping a distance from each other. So even though maybe you're living in a household where distance is really not necessary, there's sort of, in our mindset, we're kind of keeping a distance. How do we maintain the sense of touch, which, as you've talked about, I guess, is very important for many levels?
Oh, it is so important. Comforting touch. There it's there's lots of places to touch, and we need touch. I mean, we take it for granted that children need touch, and they get a lot of it if they're lucky little kids, and most are. There are famous studies from World War II in Germany where there were all these orphaned children, and they survived, but they didn't have enough on the staff to cuddle the babies. And then the phrase failure to thrive was developed because a lot of these babies died. They didn't have enough touch. There are a lot of people who live in retirement communities who aren't touched enough, and they also are sad, and now people are, with COVID, are dying alone. It's just very sad. But in terms of day-to-day stuff, we need to touch more. There's a universal truth about human sexuality, and that is no matter your sexual beliefs, nothing beats a good back rub. And maybe we could say the same for a foot massage. So there are lots of ways to touch, too. So sometimes I encourage my couples to put your partner's hand gently on top of your own and then demonstrate what you like. So remember, there's sexual and non-sexual touching. And you need to communicate your intentions and desires around touch.
We are talking today with Dr. Diana Wiley. The book is Love in the Time of Corona, Advice from a Sex Therapist for Couples in Quarantine. One of the things, the phrases that have always come out recently is the sort of mindfulness as well. How does that relate to sex and communication and relationships?
Well, mindfulness, we hear a lot about mindfulness, but mindfulness is really being present. And it's hard to be present if you're thinking about something else, and this is wandering thoughts. Spectatoring is what Masters and Johnson called it, where we almost get out of ourselves and look down on ourselves as we're having sex, and that often does not work for good, exciting, hot sex because we're not really there. Instead of thinking about our own arousal and our excitement and the tingling and the warmth and that of our partners, we're thinking, women tend to be more guilty of this than men. We're thinking about, oh, our chubby thighs or what we didn't get done that day. We're just not fully present. So mindfulness is so, so important for good sex.
Also gratitude. You mentioned that quite a bit. Being thankful or thanking your partner or even just during the routine of the day. Talk about how that really leads up to good sex or good communication and a relationship.
Gratitude is really, really important. I think that sometimes relationships, I mean, I've been doing this work for over 30 years, so I've seen thousands of couples, and I'm still seeing people, although it's teletherapy. But some couples have relationships that really unravel, and they die from what I call emotional undernourishment. They're not telling the other what they love and appreciate about the other. I have a sweet nothings exercise that I get couples to do where they take turns telling what they really love and appreciate about the other. And they each take about a minute or two sitting, facing each other, holding hands, making eye contact. And I recently I had a guy who had his wife was somewhat critical, and she started to say some nice things about him in this exercise, and he actually began to cry. It just touched his heart so much. He was so needing this kind of connection and a compliment from his wife.
Why do you think it gets to that point? What happens? Where does it get flipped where a compliment is something that is almost hard to get, or it's easier to point out the negative than the positive, I guess?
Well, it usually goes back to childhood where, you know, you grow up in a difficult, perhaps very dysfunctional family, and parents are maybe very critical of the child a lot. So that inner critic is very well developed in the person. And, you know, there's a theory about how we have ego states of the parent, the adult, and the child. And the inner child, ideally the inner child should come out to play during sexual activity. But the critical parent inside of the person just won't go to sleep. So some people drink alcohol, a lot of it, to put the critical parent to sleep so the child can come out to play. Where there is, and sex is play. Let's remember, sex is play. It's not a job to be done. It's a way to, lovely, fun way to connect. So, but it's hard for many, many people to just play and to have fun. And we really need it more than ever in this time.
Right. And it's one of those things where, as the first parts of this, I suppose it maybe has gone through stages where it was the sense of, you know, hey, something different. We're here together. We've got time. And then you sort of become, as you say, maybe more critical, or you see learning more. But as you mentioned, I guess it's a time to learn more and get to know somebody who you only see on a shorter period of time when they're working jobs or there's commitments elsewhere.
Now, this is a very unique opportunity. But for some, it's just too much togetherness, and they become really, really critical of each other. And this is the time to not be so critical. Put the criticism away. Suspend it, at least. Let's try being really sweet and loving to each other. And, Bruce, there are health benefits. We should talk about the health benefits of being sexual.
So you're going to tell me, is this going to help our immune system? Are you going to give us that right up front, or where are we
going? Oh, yeah. It is. There are studies that show this. There are numerous studies of various populations, and it shows that more sex reduces stress and eases anxiety. And plus, it's a great cardio exercise. It burns calories. My husband and I like to say it's fun, it's free, and it's the fountain of youth. Not only sex, but laughter. There are a lot of studies, and of course, since sex is play, we have a better chance of laughing and during sex. Or before actual penetration, just to laugh and play. So it's something that we really, really need, and some people just get out of the habit of, or they're feeling so overwhelmed. So take a moment, maybe plan a date night at home where you can really just focus in on each other and have some fun. It can be outer course. It doesn't have to be intercourse. All of these things that can feel so good with sex. Masters and Johnson, the sex researchers of the 50s and 60s, some people saw a series called The Masters of Sex. It's really excellent. Very, very well done. It was based on a book, the biography of Masters and Johnson. Well, they were the first ones to come up with the idea that too many people are too genitally focused. And so they talked about sensate focus, focusing on the sensations. And from the top of our head to the bottom of our feet, there are all of these erotic possibilities. And some people just get stuck between the legs. There are all these other possibilities for touching. So in these exercises, these caressing exercises, and I write about this in the book, the first couple of times a couple does these, intercourse is off the table. No intercourse, and even orgasm. Focus instead on the face, the hands, the feet, and you take turns giving and receiving. It's really great. People have much better sex when they're relaxed. Just massage. It doesn't have to be as formal as the exercise that I suggest in the book, but just touching and the back rub and the feet. We have all these good nerve endings in our feet, and that's where the Chinese reflexology comes from. A lot of healing is available from touch and massaging.
I've discovered also with people wearing masks so much, you have to focus on people's eyes more often than not. And there's a lot that you can see just by focusing on your partner's eyes than anything else, too.
That's a very good point. It's with masks, you know, we might be wearing a mask and smiling at somebody, but they don't know it unless they really look at our eyes. Smiling eyes. Eyes that have kindness in them. I have a exercise in the book called eye gazing. And some couples have a lot of trouble with this, really looking deeply into your partner's eyes for a minute or two, and sitting facing each other on the couch, holding hands, knee to knee, looking at each other's eyes, and just appreciating each other, taking the other in completely. Eye contact. It can create intimacy because we need to slow down. You know, Bruce, those two words I've used a lot over the time I have been a sex therapist and a marriage and family therapist. Slow down. There are ways that couples can slow down, like playing a board game, like Enchanting Evening. I love that game. It's been around for 40 years. It's sold about 1 million copies. And it's helped couples, many of my couples who play it, Time for Two, TWO, of course. It's really, really good. The Enchanting Evening game, it's a board game. You go around and you land on a site and you ask the question that comes up, and usually they're about the relationship, and then there's some kissing exercises. And I have had couples say that this really made a difference, that they started to talk to each other through the game, through the prompts of the game.
Using, as you mentioned, prompts or suggestions, or sometimes people who want to follow rules or at least get an idea of where are we going with this? This game kind of gives them that sort of tool to do that sort of thing.
Yes, and then the one who wins the game, in this case, they put in a box before the game their wish if they win the game. And usually it's a sexual wish. So you can maybe get your wish that way. A lot of course, it helps couples put words to some of their feelings using the game as a tool in this way. Some people have a lot of trouble finding the words for their feelings, finding the words for their sexual wants and desires. I even have in the book a sexual menu. The book, by the way, is now, well, it's been available for about a week, a little more than a week, on Amazon, both as an ebook and as a print book. And so this sex menu is in chapter one, which I've entitled Get to Know Your Partner Better. And there are, in this varieties of sexual behavior, the sex menu exercise, there are all kinds of suggestions, hugging, deep kissing, touching bare breasts, and so on and so forth, with columns yes, maybe, no, and whether you'd like to be the giver or the receiver of this particular activity. So that can help people talk about sex because they can compare their lists and after the fact and after they fill them out and talk about what kinds of sexual activities they'd like to have. It can really be a great springboard for discussion.
Which leads you to always to what you talked about before is communication. And if that's, this is part of that process.
Yes, yes. Nothing beats communication, right? We're communicating now, and we're trying to do it clearly. And I think we are. You're asking some very good questions, Bruce. You're a good interviewer.
There you go.
Thank you.
You're giving me a compliment now, so I feel better about myself just by you stating that.
You have good self-awareness just by making that observation. Yes. Yes, you're taking in the compliment. Some people have a lot of trouble with compliments. And usually these people that have trouble with compliments, I'm generalizing a little bit, but generalizations often have some truth, that people that have difficulty accepting a compliment often don't have very good self-esteem. They don't feel that they deserve the compliment. They don't maybe have quite enough self-confidence. By the way, sexual confidence and self-confidence are kind of go hand in hand. A small study was done of women who learn to have orgasms, and women can learn to have them if they're not able to have them. So when they could have orgasms predictably and maybe even multiply, if they didn't like their work, they changed jobs. And if they did like their work, they often advanced. Well, what does that tell you? That tells you that if you feel more sexually confident, then you can often feel more overall confident. So it's when we feel good about our sexuality, it often shines out in us. Yes.
No, I was just thinking, well, any part of our life, all of our parts of our lives are connected. So whether it has to do with our personal life or professional life, they kind of are linked to each other and reinforce each other, add to each other, or, you know, or break each other apart, I think. It's so no matter how it is, what's happening with you personally, sexually, in your profession, there is that obviously all that connection, and one leads to the other, you know, so...
It really does. To become a confident lover is a process. It doesn't happen overnight. That's why many people become better lovers as they get older. Dr. David Snarch, he's just a brilliant psychologist and sex therapist. He talks about differentiation, and that's a big word, but it means that we are comfortable in ourselves, we can stand on our own two feet, and we don't rely completely on the other for validation. We can validate ourselves. But differentiation is important, and usually we're not able to feel as confident about ourselves and what we want and what we need until we're closer to 50. It happens sooner for other people. They decide that they're going to learn all they can about sex. I have a whole chapter on that with books and podcasts and all kinds of resources, because when we know more about sexuality, it's powerful. We have better sex. Another small study I must tell you about, Bruce, is one where it was done about sex therapists, because people wonder, well, do sex therapists have better sex than the rest of us? Well, as it turns out, we do. And that's because we have more knowledge, and so we have less anxiety around sex. So being a confident lover is really, really important.
It's just difficult when you're taking all those notes while things are going on, right?
And you have a sense of humor, too. Yeah. Good.
All right, I'm just checking. Yes. I'm going to check my boxes here and take them home with me.
You check your boxes.
All right, that's good. if people want to get a hold of this book, I know you have an e-book version of this as well, or find out what you do, or just kind of get involved to see how they
well,
can help.
Well, the book, Love in the Time of Corona, is, of course, available on Amazon as an e-book or as a print book. And so they should look for Love in the Time of Corona by Diana Wiley, W-I-L-E-Y, Ph.D. And but also go to the new website I have. It's an advice website where people can write questions and get answers. But the website is called DearDrDiana.com, DearDrDiana.com. And, of course, you can get the book through that, too, through that website.
That must be amazing for you to click on that every day to look to see what's the next question someone's going to ask. Or have you heard all the questions already?
Oh, no, you never hear all the questions. That's one reason I love the work that I do. It's so deeply satisfying to see people transform their lives, to get happier together, to have more sex, to laugh more, to connect more, to be healthier, to have less stress.
Well, hopefully you've added that for them today and gave them some good advice. Again, our guest today, Dr. Diana Wiley. The book is called Love in the Time of Corona, Advice from a Sex Therapist for Couples in Quarantine. We appreciate your time this morning. It's been a great interview. Thank you very much.
Well, I think it's been a great interview, too, and that's because of you. And thank you, Bruce.
Thanks. Have a good day.